You're listening to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie, episode 52.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, folks, this is Dr. Donnie, and I am telling you I'm excited that the Get Balanced Podcast has an official sponsor, and I want to tell you a little bit about them. And it is FirstNet, built with the AT&T. And what I want to tell you about them is probably part of it is that many of you already know this, but for first responders and frontline workers, communication, as we know, is not a luxury, but it's a lifesaver. And that's why FirstNet, built with AT&T, was created. Now, the FirstNet mission is to make communication faster, safer, and more collaborative for first responders and other public safety personnel. FirstNet helps first responders and frontline workers connect when they are on and off duty. They get access to priority and preemption capabilities. This means they connect to the network first. In emergency situations, first responders move to the front of the line to access critical bandwidth they need to send and receive, whether it's voice, data, video, images, and text. Now, during an emergency, FirstNet is a critical connection between first responders to technology and also to each other, giving them access to information quickly and when every second counts. With FirstNet, first responders and frontline workers get a highly secure, reliable network with 24/7, 365 customer care and monitoring. Now, to get more information about FirstNet, go visit your local AT&T store or visit FirstNet.com. Now, let me go in and introduce our guest for this week. Hey, folks, welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. I am your host today. And I'll tell you, I have a special guest today. Now, he was a guest on episode 32, Patrick Fitzgibbons, and of CJ Evolution. That is a podcast that he has out there, and which is number one law enforcement podcast out there. And Patrick, of course, is a former law enforcement officer, as well as in the Army and the 82nd Airborne, which was, when he mentioned that, is dear to my heart because my son's came out of the 82nd Airborne. And big key back in that episode of 32, we talked about self-care as one of the keys to work-life balance, and is a key for Patrick to actually turn his life around back in that time. And but what I want to talk about today, and I'm going to bring him on here in just a second, is that Patrick has developed and is putting out another podcast, which I'm excited to share with you about that. It is called Mindset Evolution. And with that, I'm going to turn this over to Patrick, bring him in, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But the biggest thing, this is going to be a terrific conversation about mindset. Hey, Patrick, welcome to the show, man.
Dr. Donnie, it's an honor, brother, being on your show again. Thanks for the invite. Excited to be here.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when you sent me a note that you got this Mindset Evolution podcast going, I was like, wow, man, two podcasts. that's good. And yeah. But I like it because, you know, when you said mindset, and you know, I've listened to your CJ Criminal Justice Evolution podcast, that, you know, you talk a lot about this, but now you're really narrowing in on mindset evolution. But why don't you give us a an overview of what this podcast is all about.
Well, like the name implies, I mean, and thanks for the plug, brother. I sure do appreciate it. You know, I wanted to start another show in conjunction with CJ Evolution that really honed in on the tools and the other things that we can use to develop, you know, the proper mindset personally and professionally, because like we were saying before we started, you know, everything starts within the 6 inches between your ears, brother. You know that, and your listeners do too. The problem is that so many of us, myself included, we grow up conditioned to believe that there are limitations on us and we can't do certain things, or you can't go and make a lot of money. We were talking about money, or you can't be successful in certain areas of life. I'm not saying with everybody, but a lot of people settle for mediocre. They're in a job that they don't like, you know, they have, you know, relationships that need a lot of help, and they just settle. And a lot of that is this conditioning in the way they were raised. And my show, the Mindset Evolution Show, is not so much about learning. It's about unlearning things that we have learned or we were taught and conditioned to believe throughout our lives. Some people are really great at, you know, developing proper mindset, but most of us aren't. And so the show is, I'm really excited about the show, bringing on guests to talk about, give you the tools and the information needed to develop the proper mindset so you can be successful and accomplish anything you want in your life. But it starts with you. It doesn't, you know, it starts with it's intrinsic. It starts internally. You know, life is an internal game. It's not an outside game. It's internal.
Now, Patrick, when you say unlearn, can you walk us through, maybe give us an example of, because, you know, when you say limitations and things like that, can we put some meat on the bones on this?
A great question.
What you mean by that?
Great question. We were having a discussion about money before we went live. And most of us, Donnie, I was brought up to believe, I think you mentioned you were brought up to believe that money is evil. Mm-hmm. You know, somehow money is the root of all problems in the world. Rich people are, you know, they want to see other people suffer, you know, they're stingy with their money. And I'm not saying that there aren't rich people like that, but we're conditioned. A lot of us are conditioned to believe that money is evil. And my thought is, and what I've learned over the years, look, if you think money is evil and you need money, how do you think money is going to come to you? Because I'm a big believer in law of attraction, and what you put out there, you're going to get. So we're all energy. And if you're putting out that energy that money's evil, all rich people are bad, you're going to get that. And the reality is that's not true. The reality is there's more than enough money to go around. You can make any amount of money you want. You just have to put the action behind it. But a lot of us, we surround ourselves with the wrong people. You know, we surround ourselves with people that are negative, and it's hard sometimes because they're family. But I always say, you know, you don't have to like family. You have to love them. You can love them and not like them. But that's what I mean. That's an example of unlearning, you know, with the topic of money, because a lot of people are conditioned to believe, you know, that money is evil. Look, brother, there's a reason why 80% of the wealth in the world resides in about 20% of the population, because they don't believe money is evil.
Right.
You know, they believe money is a good thing. Money's a tool. You know, if you are not a nice person, money's just going to amplify that. If you're a great person, believe in philanthropy, guess what? It's going to amplify that. So it's a matter of unlearning, not just topics about money, but everything that you've been conditioned to believe and you were taught, usually as a young kid.
Yes. And I'm starting to understand that quite a bit. And we were talking about as well before we went live, is that some of the things that I've been going through and journaling and really giving some thought about, and I don't know if any of the listeners out there ever thought about this, but emotions, mm-hmm. you know, when we think, you former law enforcement, you know, I'm a veteran, and, you know, with the firefighters out there, it's like, you know, emotion, you know, do we really open up, show emotion? And I never gave it any thought. What happens in childhood, do you carry that over to adulthood, such as, do you celebrate happiness or joy, or do you celebrate accomplishments? And if you grew up in a family that necessarily, no, that's not a celebration, or if you have trauma as a kid or witnessed trauma from, you know, where I grew up, I witnessed kids dying, seeing a baby die that was next door to best friend in high school, got electrocuted and died. And, but not having a family situation to sit down and say, hey, are you okay? Or how are you feeling? You know, that where there is no communication on that emotional piece, mm-hmm. it's like, wow, how does that carry over into adulthood? And then it's like, I'm starting personally to self-discover all these new things. When you talk about unlearning, it's like, well, wow, let's see, I am a certain way around certain people in my family, to where I don't show joy. I don't show happiness. Yeah. I mean, my gosh, I was on national news, right? Morning news, national news. It's sort of a big deal for me. You know, I was down at the border with law enforcement, border patrol, and ICE agents, and I was doing my work-life balance workshops. No one in my family knows it. You know, my children, they celebrate it. My wife does, but no one in my extended family, they don't even know it.
Yeah.
you know, and it's like, and I started going backwards thinking, wow, why am I like that? And so I've been doing a bunch of research, and I think that's why it interests me so much. When you wanted to talk about mindset, it's like, wow, I'm doing a lot of research on this myself and journaling and trying to dump my thoughts out as fast as I can on paper. Right.
Yeah.
And as all of a sudden I'm starting to discover and first learn about some things. And I agree with what you're saying, Patrick, is that now, how do I unlearn it? You know, how do I change that, reframe that, that situation, right? Mm-hmm. To where I am more open and more expressive, or, you know, share emotions more and things like that. So if you would talk a little bit about on that, when it comes to even from when you talk about mindset, even from the emotions or anywhere you really want to go with that, when you talk about the unlearning and then how do you replace it with something new?
Yeah, great question. I mean, you mentioned him. I spent 23 years in law enforcement. I was in the military, 82nd Airborne down. I don't know your sons. Mm-hmm. Was in there. You know, thank you for his service. But, you know, I mean, the military is a tough environment, especially with certain units like the 82nd. I mean, I love what I did. But, you know, I was taught from a very young age to suppress, you know, like you were, and we just don't talk about anything. And, you know, that carried over into a successful career in law enforcement. And I always tell people, and a lot of people know this, you know, law enforcement is a career where you see a lot of human suffering, a lot of trauma, a lot of death. And us as human beings, we're, and you know this, Donnie, with your firefighting background, you know, we're not designed to see that over a sustained period of time. Whereas the average person out there, they have traumatic events happen in their lives, death of a family, maybe a car accident, whatever, financial disaster. Those are all traumatic. And I'm not trying to minimize that, but that's, you know, most people don't see that on a constant basis. Yeah. And I'm not saying law enforcement is better. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's the nature of law enforcement. So when you talk about feelings, I was really good, you know, typical, you know, type A personality. I was really good at putting stuff down there,
mm-hmm.
suppressing it. And, yeah. you know, it's down there until it started to bubble up. It affected, you know, my marriage, my relationships with my kids, you know, and I mentioned a personal matter. I mention it because I'm okay talking about it. I'm going through a divorce. And a lot of that was due to my inability to express my feelings.
Was it?
You know? Yeah, a lot of it was. Yeah. And I admit that. And, you know, marriage is a two-way street, but, you know, I play a part in that. And, you know, mm-hmm. and since I have a great therapist now and talk about all this stuff, but you know, it is, you have to talk about your feelings. You cannot, and you can bottle them up, but bad things are going to happen, man. You know, yeah. they will happen. I'm not, you know, I'm just saying that you're going to be locked into that mindset. And most people just keep spiraling. We live in one of the greatest times in the world right now, brother, we have so much information at our fingertips, so many, like your great show, you know, your podcast. I mean, all these great outlets that we can go to, you know, and talk to people about that. The hardest thing, though, especially with men, is just coming forward and saying, look, I have a problem. You know, that was the biggest problem for me, especially in law enforcement, because, you know, you immediately you think, you know, it's a sign of weakness. You know, nobody's going to want to work with me anymore. Well, actually, it's a sign of strength.
Right.
You know, it's a sign of strength to ask for help. And the reality is that, you know, if you are struggling out there, and I'm not a therapist, but you need to take that step forward and ask for help, because it's going to make the world a difference. And the world needs you, you know, and you're here for a reason. So feelings are very, very, very important. But you got to take care of yourself first. You know, it's like the, you know, we all heard the, you know, the airplane analogy with the oxygen mask fall down, you know, and the, you know, when they're pre-flight, and then you put it on yourself.
Right.
A lot of people don't do that. You know, they're really good at taking care of other people. Like, you know, I was that way too, and I was a first responder, but I didn't take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that has since changed over the years. You know, I'm a lot better at that, but you know, it all starts with taking that first step and talking about your feelings.
Yes. And I think also with leadership in whether it's the police department, fire department, or emergency medicine, mm-hmm. but even with leadership is to make sure your people are taking care of themselves, that physical health, the mental health, social, spiritual health, all of that. Yeah. And like you say, you know, it's a sign of strength, which, you know, we're all, many of us, you, me, you know, all the people we tag on each other in, LinkedIn and all of that out there collaborating, trying to, in one of those terms, smash the stigma, right, of the mental health, which it's like anymore, it's like, why is it a stigma? You know, we got to really just, we got to put the change to that. Yes. And I think with that mental health, it's, why is it, why would it be so odd to say, you know how we get a annual physical exam, preventive, right? Let's go get that checkup. You know, what's our, do our blood work, get our blood pressure and, you know, any other tests that you need, right? Sometimes go get the skin exam. We do these preventive things, get to our age, get that colonoscopy, you know, you do all those preventive pieces, right? Why don't we in our culture make a mental health checkup, that preventive checkup? You know, because I think, if you will, it's like,
Because I think we've been raised, you know, we've been conditioned as a society over the years to, you know, I mean, think of, I don't know why this movie's sticking out in my head, but think of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson. Great movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, so the minute you say, well, I'm struggling mentally or psychologically, I mean, what do people think? Well, you're crazy.
Right.
You know, something's going on, you know, I mean, you know, you're nuts. I'm not saying everybody, but I think it's going to be a long time. I think we've come a long way, you know, but I still think there's a stigma behind it. Look, you know, I mean, nobody wants to come, especially in certain roles, certain jobs. Nobody, can you imagine if a pilot came forward and said, look, I'm struggling. I mean, well, what are they going to do? Are they going to take his flight status away from him? I'm not saying they would. Right. I'm just saying, but there's a lot of, I think, negative consequences that could be associated that should people come forward and say, look, I'm struggling. And so I think we as a society, and I think we're doing a great service with shows like this and other information out there where we're breaking that, you know, we're hopefully, you know, reaching to more and more people to say, look, the right thing to do is ask for help, not keep it in. And so that's, like I said, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about the era we live in right now in human history, I think, is that we have all this information, all this technology where we can connect and we can collaborate as human beings and we can share this collective knowledge, because really that's what it's about. That's how we all become better.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Patrick, what have you learned about mindset? Because when you say, you know, everything's in between the 6 inches and between our ears here, is that what lately have been some of your largest takeaways from what we think about is what we do? You know, you mentioned law of attraction. I'll go there in a minute, but what is it about the thought process that has intrigued you and you feel is important?
Well, I think, you know, the thing that I've learned over the years is I can control what I think about. I know that sounds simplistic, but a lot of people get sucked into outside forces and stuff like that, and they let that influence the way that they're thinking. Look, science has proven that on average, the average human being has about 75 to 80,000 thoughts a day. And that's science. That's me not just pulling out a number. Now, the interesting thing about that number, Donnie, and maybe you know this, maybe your listeners do, is that the same thoughts that we had have right now are the same thoughts that we had yesterday.
Right.
So, I mean, so that they are, seriously, that's what they've proven. So imagine if we just take 2% of that, 5%, hell, 10%, and change 10% of those 80,000 thoughts, your life would radically change. Yeah. And the problem is that, so, like I said, and I've been there too. And sometimes I get there, is that we think about the negative. We think we don't live in the present moment and enjoy today and be grateful for today. We're too worried about, you know, the future. Mm-hmm. We're too worried about tomorrow, you know, but the reality is you're robbing your happiness of today.
Yeah.
You're robbing, you know, why are you worried about the future? Because what I've learned, Donnie, and again, goes in with mindset, is the most of the stuff that I worry about, either one, never come to fruition, or and two, if that does come to fruition, it's not nearly as big as I envisioned it in my mind. So those are the kind of things that I've learned, you know, over the years with mindset. And again, I don't live in a bubble. Do I have bad days? Do I get irritated? Yes. But what I have, or what they call, and I stole this from The Secret, is, you know, secret shifters. When I start going that route, because I can control my mind, you can, everybody can. I can control my thoughts. I can't control other people's thoughts, but I can control my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so when I go down that road of, damn, I'm pissed off. Well, that guy, you know, that guy just cut me off. Now I can do one or two things. Let's use that example. So somebody cuts me off, pisses me off, man.
Mm-hmm.
I can honk. I can flip, give him the bird. I can do everything like that. He is not controlling my reaction. I'm controlling my reaction.
Right.
It's the mindset. I can choose to be like, well, maybe he's in a hurry. I don't know. You know, or I can choose to react a different way. And again, I've reacted in bad ways before. But the older I get, the more I realize is that, you know, the mind is so powerful. You know, it all starts in the mind. You can do anything you want in the world, but it all starts with, you know, the mind. But you got to cultivate your mind. There's one of my favorite books out there, brother. I'll show it to you. Is As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. One of my favorite books out there. It's an older book, 19th century, beginning of the 19th century. And in it, he likens the mind as a garden. What you plant in your garden will grow. If you plant beautiful things in your mind,
mm-hmm.
beautiful flowers, roses, that's what's going to grow. I'm talking about positive thoughts and positivity and, you know, I mean, having that great mindset. If you don't, what's going to grow in that mind, in your mind? Weeds. Those are the negative thoughts. So again, it goes that's, and I went off a little bit, but I mean, that's what I love about mindset, you know, is that we can control all this stuff. You know, and a lot of people, they get sucked into this. Well, you know, life is just has it out for me.
Right.
You know, I'm just unlucky.
Life is hard.
Life is hard. Yep. Life is meant to be abundant. But if you mentioned law of attraction, big believer in that. That's all mindset. If you think life sucks, I'm always going to struggle. I'm never going to, you know, get over my problems or adversity, whatever. Guess what? Life's going to give you that.
Yeah.
We all know, I know, you know, I have people in my life, family members, that everything is just doom and gloom. And then they wonder why, Donnie, they keep getting doom and gloom.
Right.
Yeah. Because any successful person out there, I'm not just talking about money and financial success. I'm talking about spiritual, whatever. They don't think that way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Bill Gates or Elon Musk or any billionaire out there, and I'm not trying to make it about money, they're successful because they're not thinking about toxic things. They're not thinking about losing. They're not thinking about that. They're thinking about winning. And more importantly, they surround themselves with like-minded people. So again, that's what I love about mindset. And we have the power. We've always had the power. It's just so many of us are just conditioned to believe certain things, and we allow that to rule our lives.
Now, Patrick, could you review like a tool or two that you use when you say mindset? You know, one thing that's coming to my mind, I imagine listeners as well, is like, you know, are you talking like maybe take time to meditate or, you know, could you go over a tool or two?
So here's what you can do. And you can start right now. You can start when you go to bed, and then you can do it again when you get up. Let me explain. So when you lie down in bed, put your phone away, get off your phone, just put it somewhere where you're not distracted. And then I want you to lay in bed for a couple minutes, and I want you to go through in your mind what you were grateful during the day. Mm-hmm. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, my day sucked. No, I'm not grateful for anything. It sucked. No, bull. You have much to be grateful for. You're alive. So that's the first thing. Yeah. So I want you to think about that for a couple minutes. Write them down. It's even more powerful. The things you're grateful for. You're alive. You got a family. You got a roof over your head. So go through your mind, write it down of what you're grateful for, then go to bed. And then when you wake, it's almost like resetting your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to bed with positive thoughts. You're not going to bed with that baggage of negativity. And then when you get up, before you even get out of the bed, I do this every day, Donnie, is before my feet even hit the floor, I'm going through my mind. Okay. I am glad to be here another day. God has given me another day. I'm glad I have my house, my bed. I mean, it could be anything. Start with the small things. And just go through your mind of things that you're grateful for. You are consistent with that. If you're consistent with that and you make it a daily practice, that is going to change your life. And it's going to set the tone for your day. But most people don't do that. Most people, and I was one of those people. Oh, shit, it's going to be a crappy day. I can feel it. Work's going to be a disaster. That case that happened last night, I got all these bills I got to pay. And I'm not saying that. I mean, that's just life. And you have to deal with that. I'm just saying that if you set your mind on a positive note, before you get out of the bed, you know, think about you get out of the bed, brother, in the middle of the night, or say you get out of the bed in the morning and you stub your toe. A lot of people, that's going to dictate the rest of the day. Well, my day is going to suck right now.
Yeah.
I've stubbed my toe. And I'm not saying it's a bad, that's a good thing. I'm just saying that that's what I do. And it's changed my life for the better. You mentioned meditation. I have a daily routine. Again, I mentioned gratitude. I get up. Mm-hmm. Every step I'm taking, I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just giving, and it takes practice. I have sticky notes all over around my house. Pisses off my wife, you know, affirmations. I am great. I am good. Two of the most powerful words that you can do is say to yourself is I am. Hmm. I am great. I am loved. I am wonderful. And it's not being narcissist, contrary to what people think. You have to love yourself before you love other people. So you mentioned meditation. First of all, I go to the gym, hit the gym for about an hour every day without exception. And let me back up. I get up around 4:35 in the morning. That's just how I like to do it. Yeah. I'm an early riser. I think I'm more productive during the morning hours than I am mm-hmm. during the afternoon. So I try to get as much in during the day. And I have a plan the night before. But I go to the gym, work out, take care of my body. It all starts with the body. Come back, do about 25, 30 minutes of meditation, and then I get started on my day. Any successful person out there, has some sort of morning routine. You know, and yours could be anything, something that kind of gets your mind in the proper mindset to go attack your day.
Now, on the meditation, could you step back and walk us through a little bit more? Could you open up a little bit more about where do you do this? How do you do it? How do you relax? I mean,
yeah,
eyes open, eyes closed.
Meditation is one of those things where, you know, it just takes some practice because most of us, I have a very active mind. I mean, I think I'm a little bit of AD, you know, attention deficit disorder. It's kind of hard for me to concentrate on things sometimes. So it was initially, and I've been doing meditation for a couple of years now. Initially, it was very difficult. It was quieting my mind. And there's mm-hmm. plenty of apps out there, Headspace, Calm, and stuff like that, that you can use, that you can yeah. download to help you with that. But I use it's called a Muse headband. And what it does is that it kind of, it measures my brain activity. It's really cool. And it has an app that comes with it. And I'm not a spokesman for Muse, by the way, but it's just a headband. It's like an EKG for your brain, and it's measuring your brain waves. And what I do is I put on rain or something like that, some sort of soothing music or, you know, sounds. Mm-hmm. So the rain sound, if my mind is wandering off and my mind starts getting really busy, it'll start thundering until I bring my mind back, and I'm closing my eyes.
Saying this, the headband's reading your yeah. waves.
Yeah, it's reading my brain waves.
And it's reading that if you're getting too many racing thoughts going on,
yeah, it'll start thundering. Yeah, it's crazy technology. I mean, you can check it. It's Muse. It's called Muse. It's the headband. It's a meditation.
I'm going to check this out.
Yeah, and I'm not a spokesman, but it's a great product. And I've been using that for a couple of years. And, you know, I focus on my breathing, and it starts out with kind of like a guided thing. And then it gets into the actual meat of the meditation. So you can change up music, and it's like any, you know, meditation application, but that has helped me. So I go back, you know, I start out in a quiet place, you know, no distractions, all that stuff, you know, put my phone on do not disturb because the app is linked to my phone, all this stuff that's going to, you know, get me into that meditative state. And I'm doing it early in the morning too, which is great because there's no, you know, it's not usually not, you know, the sun's not up yet or anything like that. So, you know, it's great. And then I can get it out of the way. But that's another thing too, brother, that really sets the tone for me. It all does, you know, every part of my routine, but the meditation thing is really, really important. And there's a reason why, and I have some of you out there on meditation, you know, flowing robes and all this kumbaya stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I interview a lot of people on the CJ Evolution podcast. A lot of those people are first responders, former Navy SEALs, Green Berets. And I'm going to tell you what, let's go with the SEALs. I don't think I've met a SEAL, and I know a lot of them, good friends of mine, that don't have some sort of meditation practice, don't have some sort of morning routine. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why elite military units, the NFL, MLB, you name it, a lot of them do meditation practice. They engage in mindfulness because it works.
Yeah.
It works. If you would ask me a handful of years ago, man, let's talk about mindfulness and meditation. I would have, right? Give me a break. No, it works. And it will change your life. But it's like anything else, brother. You have to practice it. It takes time. You can't just do it once and say, well, or you can, but it's like anything else. If you want to become better at it, you have to practice it.
Right. Absolutely. Now, you mentioned law of attraction. And for the folks out there, if you have not watched the movie, and you also mentioned the movie Secret, yeah. You can find that on YouTube, I know. Actually, just talking about it motivated me, because I was actually thinking about, because my wife's going to dinner with her twin. It was their birthday the other day, and one of their best friends that they grew up with. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do tonight? Now I know what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to put The Secret back on just to watch it again, because I found it very powerful, very moving, and extremely interesting about the whole idea of thinking positively.
Go ahead.
Just a dozen years ago, in psychology, in the academic world and of psychology, about 15 years ago now, I believe it is that a new field called positive psychology opened up. And it's only 15 years old. It's other people call it the science of happiness. It's a lot of what you're talking about, and a lot about what The Secret's talking about.
Yeah. And it's, it's such a great movie, Rhonda Byrne, and you got people like, Joe Vitale in there, Bob Proctor, all these practitioners. And a lot of these people, folks, if you haven't watched it, I encourage you to watch it, started from nowhere, started from nothing. Yeah. And they had to put the work in, but it's mindset. Now, you mentioned, thinking positive thoughts, and you're right, you have to, but the more important thing is you got to feel it too. You have to feel it. Cause I can sit here and think positive thoughts all day, but one of the keys to The Secret and Law of Attraction is you not only have to think it, but you have to feel it. You have to feel, happy. You have to feel positive. You have to feel like that promotion's coming or that job officer, opportunity is coming, and it might not come. Mm-hmm. But the key is not only thinking positive thoughts and sending out that energy to the universe, because we're all energy. We're all the same. We're all connected. Sending out that energy, but you got to feel it too. I mean,
I completely agree with you. And this was something I started practicing. I really got into it when I was running back in college. So when I was playing college football, I practiced envisioning, 28 sweep, right? I just the quarterback turns, pitches me the ball. I was in an I formation, and I run that sweep, and I put a move on the defensive. And, I just constantly would just run it through my mind. And sometimes people would ask me, what do you mean you run it through your mind or your vision? And I'm like, it's like I'm directing the movie. I'm the actor and the director, and I'm playing it all the way and feeling it, feeling the hit, feeling the bump, everything, and feeling the touchdown, feeling the joy of it. And I practice that all the time.
Yes.
And it worked so well. And that's what we're talking about here when we're talking about what you're talking about, Patrick, is that not just think it, but feel it.
And visualize, like you said.
Yeah, that visual. And I'll tell you, both my young daughters, well, they're 17 and 18 now, but when they were small, 8, 9, 9, and 10 years old, they were state champs in gymnastics, and they were coached very well. But one thing that I did with them, during practice, because gymnasts practice so much, that if they were struggling on something, I would, during a break, I would just bring them over and just put my hands on their head, just ask them to close their eyes and say, all right, Gabriella, or all right, Hannah, you know what to do.
Yeah.
Make that movie in your mind, because I ingrained it within them.
Yes.
They carry that through to other sports. I ask them to carry it through when they take a test.
It is so powerful.
All that kind of stuff, to where I believe it, that stuff. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know when I go give a speech or I do my workshop, it's like, man, I play that thing out in my mind all the time,
Well, you mentioned, sports are big with that. I mean, you watch the Olympics, Donnie, and how many times do you see somebody get up on the podium and say, I envision being here? Tiger Woods, he's won, I don't know how many Masters. Every time I've watched him, most of the times he says, I envision getting this green jacket. So he visualized it. Visualization is very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. Where your thoughts go, energy flows. And I'm a big believer in that too, and again, it's just not visualizing, it's putting in the work and believing that it's going to come to fruition. But again, so many people, they don't realize how powerful these tools are that we're talking about. And they are powerful. And the one good thing that I love what the example you gave to your kids, now they are kind of paying it. They're going to pay it forward. Mm-hmm. The older they get, they're going to be like, wait a minute, I remember my dad, you know, taught me this, and we got to visualize it. We got to think about it. We got to believe that we can do it. That's the secret, man. That's law of attraction along with other things, but that's the basis behind it.
Now talk to us about, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, because some of the folks out there listening would be like, wait a minute, Dr. Donnie, I know you always toss out a blessing at the end of your show. I mean, is this in alignment with you believing in God, this law of attraction? And I can anticipate what your answer is, but I want to toss it over to you.
Absolutely. Look, I grew up Roman Catholic, very strict Catholic. I still am. I mean, I probably should go to church more than I do. But I think you can be very spiritual, no matter what your faith is, and still believe in the law of attraction and still believe that good things are going to happen. You don't have to pick sides.
Right.
And why would you do that?
Right.
That goes, you know, that let's talk about religion for a minute. You know, I grew up, like I said, Catholic, and my parents, mainly my dad, was, oh, money's evil, man. Money is the root of all evil. Don't ever ask me for money. Don't ever ask me that, because money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. Now, we mentioned before, and I think I mentioned, you know, prior, you know, there's a great book out there called The Millionaires of the Bible.
Yeah.
If people don't think money can be spiritual and money is evil, I would highly encourage you to read that book, because Jesus, Joseph, all these famous spiritual people in the Bible not only talked about prosperity, but they also were very prosperous for their time. So that's one of the falsehoods that I think we've been conditioned to believe, especially, I know I can't speak for other people, but growing up Catholic as well, you know, poverty is a virtue. No, it isn't. Where does that say that in the Bible?
Right.
Where does it say that poverty, we should all live in poverty? So getting back to what you're saying is, yes, you can be very spiritual and into your faith and still want to make a lot of money, if we're talking about that.
Yeah.
Because you can do a lot of good with making a lot of money in the world. And as far as money, I'm on a tangent, but money is just a tool, folks. If you are a mean person, money is going to amplify that. If you're a good person, it's going to amplify that. So absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm very spiritual, very spiritual. And I wholeheartedly believe in the law of attraction.
And with that law of attraction, I know one thing that it opened my eyes when I watched the movie and I pondered it for a while and I'm thinking about it. And it's like, you know, send out that positive energy, those positive thoughts, feel them and expect something in return. And I was like, well, wait a minute. This is exactly what faith is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I forget the number or the verse of which chapter, but when Jesus says, you know, if you have the faith, even the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is what law of attraction is. It's having that faith, you know, thinking it, feeling it, believing it, that it will happen. And as Jesus tells us, of course, you know, pray and, you know, even pray together and have that belief and it shall be granted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's where I found, I was like, wow, this law of attraction is so well in alignment with faith. Where it's like it just says it a little differently and it tries to do it more of a scientific way, but it's like, wow, this is it, you know.
And a lot of people get irritated, Donnie, you probably know this, because it's not happening on their timetable.
Right.
It's not happening quickly. Yeah. Understand that God has his own plan, and understand that the universe works and God works on his plan, his timetable.
Yeah.
But the key is what you said, brother, believing, because as long as you believe and have faith and know that God will provide and the universe will provide, it will happen. But a lot of people, what do you think they do? A lot of people, just when it's about to happen, just when it's coming to the surface, a lot of people give up and say, well, this doesn't work. Why even pray? God's not listening to me. No, he's listening to you. He's just on his time frame, and everything happens for a reason.
Yeah,
I've learned that over the years, and I get irritated. Why, God, why are you doing this to me? Yeah. But then I step back and mindset, remember, those shifters would come back and say, you know, God's on his timetable. It will happen, but it's faith. Like you said, faith is very powerful.
Yeah. Hey, we're coming up on, about 50 minutes here, but one of the things, there could be some listeners out there, because you said earlier in the podcast and even off air, you told me that you're going through a divorce. Mm-hmm. There can be many first responders out there going through a divorce right now, both dads and moms and everything, right? Their head is probably hanging low. It's never an easy ride. It's not, the trail's never easy. But do you have any words of encouragement, perhaps, for them if they're struggling right now?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, yeah, I'm going through a divorce. I think words of encouragement would be, you know, hold your head up high. You know, you will get through this. A good friend of mine told me a while ago, you know, when you're going through hell, you don't want to stay there. Keep going through it. Those are, you know, simple words, but they're very powerful.
They are.
The thing I would encourage you to do is take responsibility for your part. So many, and I mentioned, you know, some of the things that I struggle with. I take responsibility for that. Don't fall into this victimhood. It's always a two-way street. It's always a two-way street. As long as you treat each other with respect and dignity, and it's hard sometimes because you want to do that blame game. I know I do sometimes, but I fall back to, you know, things happen for a reason. You know, what makes, you know, the pain I'm going through and the heartache and stuff, it's going to make me stronger. I don't wish it on anybody. And if your listeners are out there going through it, you just got to, again, talk about that mindset. Don't blame other people. Don't blame your spouse. Don't, you know, be angry. I know that's difficult. Understand that things happen for a reason. You're going to be stronger, more resilient afterwards. But again, you know, I think so many people, I've seen it in a career in law enforcement, you know, you start pitting kids against each other, you know, and all, you know, parents and stuff like that. And the blame game where your mom's this and your dad's this. Don't go that route. And I know it's easy, but take the higher road, you know, just take the higher road. And you, trust me, you know, it's karma too. I mean, it's, you know, what you do is going to come back to you.
Yeah.
Right. To realize that, you know, God has a plan for you. You just got to pray and settle on your faith or meditate or do anything that to kind of help you get through this tough time, but you will get through it.
You know? Sort of that other side of law of attraction. I mean, you can be attracted to bad things and negative and everything else.
And it's tough, you know, man, going through, you know, I got to tell you, and I, you know, be honest with your listeners. I was blindsided by this, you know, and I was angry, you know, I was bitter for a while. But then I started going back to the mindfulness and basically practicing what I'm preaching right now. And I realized that I could go down the route of negativity and bitterness and let that consume me, but it's not healthy, man. It's like Donnie, if I'm mad at you, it's like me drinking poison, waiting for you to get sick. No, I'm serious. That's what it's about. Yeah, I mean, who's going to get sick? I'm just infecting me because it's not going to affect you.
Right.
So I just thought about that and I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, and like I said, it sucks, you know, going through a difficult time and not just divorce, but any type of thing you're going into your life, but realize that, you know, you will get through it. You just have to have faith and try to remain positive and trust me, you'll get through it.
Yes. Hey brother, is there anything that I did not ask you or that we did not cover that maybe you'd like to touch on before we close this out?
No, man, it's been an honor, Donnie. And again, I want you on my show. We talked about it. And again, you can use the link I showed you before, brother, or gave it to you before. And anybody who wants to reach out to me, I'm here. I mean, I'd love to talk to you. CJEvolution.com. You can find me there. Everything's linked up, all my social and everything. You can, new podcast, Mindfulness Evolution Show, is going to be linked up under the CJ Evolution umbrella. It should be on my podcast or my website pretty soon. And it's on, you know, Stitcher, you know, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio. The new show is there. So, again, it's just been an honor, brother.
All right. It absolutely has. I appreciate you and appreciate you, coming on the podcast and sharing the piece on mindset as well as all the personal pieces as well. Yeah. And as my tradition, if you would like, I know you would, close this out with a blessing to all first responders out there.
God, please bless the brave men and women who protect us every day. Keep them safe when they're in the field and bring them home safe to their loved ones and friends. Amen.
Amen. All right, brother. Thank you.
Take care, brother.
Thank you.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not?
Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.